Morning, and a very warm welcome to one and all, and of course, Happy New Year. The intimations are as on the screen, but I've been asked to give you a special reminder that as it's the first Sunday of the month, the flower box will be available for donations at the door on the way out after this morning's service. A responsive psalm this morning is Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Amen.
Our first hymn this morning is Hymn 161, O God, our help in ages past. Hymn 161. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, at the start of the new year, we do what we always do. We gather to seek your grace for the time that lies ahead, your wisdom for its puzzles, your strength for all that will challenge us. Lord God, you build up your people. You gather the outcasts. You heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. You're the kind of God we long to know and to know better. You're the kind of God who deserves everything we have to give. You number the stars. You know them by their names. Yet you know each one of us. We have gathered to praise you, to listen to you, to find new strength in your service. Heavenly Father, in your Son Jesus Christ, we are perfect, tasting already the joy of heaven, wonderfully in harmony with you and with one another. But in ourselves, we are still messing up, living as if you had not sent your Son to save us. We confess our sins and the sins of this community and nation before you, and ask that you will heal us, change us, redirect us, sort us out, that we may live before you and before the world in newness of life, humbly rejoicing in the new life of Christ. Lord God, you have wonderfully created the world, that over millennia it might grow and develop and sustain human life. While you occupy the wind and the water and can be seen everywhere, you are greater than nature. You delight in all you have made. You take pleasure not so much in the strength of a horse, the speed of the car, but in the obedience of your people and in those who hope in your steadfast love. How should we hope in that love unless you teach us, unless you show us, unless you reveal Christ afresh to us, unless your Spirit occupies our worship, our song, our scriptures, our response? This is our earnest desire, Lord, that our lives will become like a watered garden, like a symphony, like a poem, an offering from those who delight to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose words we now pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn 81, I to the Hills Will Lift Mine Eyes, which always makes me think of Forth. So hymn 81.
Oh,
Let us listen for the word of God.
First reading comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. A time for everything, there is a time for everything, and a reason for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and be good while they live. That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. Second reading comes from Matthew. Matthew, what was it? Sorry, Jean?
25. 31.
Sorry about that. The sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." When the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will all also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
Thank you very much. We continue our worship with hymn 530, One More Step Along the World I Go. Hymn 530. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be an acceptable offering in your sight, O Lord. Amen. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. We stand at the start of a new year, traditionally a time to look forward, a time of anticipation, a time to look ahead. But for many, it's also a time to look back, to reflect on what has been, to ponder the past. It's no accident that the Roman god Janus, after whom the first month of the year is named, is depicted as having two faces, one looking forward, one looking back. There's a time for everything in life, a time to look ahead, a time to make decisions, a time for trying to change things for the better, a time for looking for new opportunities. And I'm sure that many of us have made New Year's resolutions, some serious, some not so serious. I'm sure we've all had a look into a metaphorical crystal ball, trying to see what the new year ahead will bring to us. It's that time of the year. In our passage from Ecclesiastes, the philosopher wrote that there's a right time for everything. It's especially well depicted in the first 8 verses of the passage that Miriam read from Ecclesiastes. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, the time to build up, time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast down, and a time to build. These verses are almost hypnotic, and it's easy to fall under the spell of the poetry, with its finely balanced and contrasting points and the experiences it points to. It's a passage for all seasons and all moods. All human life is there, from birth to death, and everything in between. The list is intended to represent all the vicissitudes that may occur in the course of a human life, an ever-changing kaleidoscope of things that come to us, some unasked for and out of our control, birth and death, war and peace, and others we can choose, like when to speak and when to remain silent. All of these have their time, their place, their part in life. It's a passage for all seasons and all moods. All life is there. It's as if when we look at life, we're looking at a dance, where the dancers weaving in and out in an intricate pattern. Every step, every movement seems to fit into its appropriate place. We look at it and think that we ought to be able to make sense of it, to see a meaningful pattern that it all falls into place. But does it? No is the answer that the philosopher gives. For him, if there's a divine purpose for running through life, then God has chosen not to tell us what it is, and we are unable to discover it for ourselves. He says that there's a right time for everything, and that time is chosen by God. He says that God has given us the desire to know the future, to understand God's plan, but that God hasn't given us the satisfaction of fully comprehending what God has in mind. We may get a glimpse here and there. We may get a few steps right, but the whole thing is an enigma, and the dance a mystery. And for the philosopher, there is only one thing to do, to live life to the full as it comes to us day by day. To the author of Ecclesiastes, the secret of life, the secret of a happy, successful human life, is to seize the moment as it comes. Everything has its time, its place. For him, we must be alert, awake, aware for the possibilities of the day, the possibilities of the hour, the possibilities of the minute. And we are to take those opportunities if we are to be happy. We have to be able to recognize the possibilities the day brings, the year brings, and to act at the right time, not too early and not too late, but at the right time. We have to be happy and enjoy ourselves, to eat, drink, and take pleasure in life, for it is all God's gift. For the philosopher, the author of Ecclesiastes, there's a pattern in life, a purpose behind it all. But the purpose is God's. And although we yearn to understand that purpose, to know God's thoughts, these are hidden from us and they're not fully revealed. And we must simply get on with life as it comes, take each thing at the right time, and enjoy the gifts that God gives us. There's a right time for everything. And the trick is to recognize that time, to go through life with our eyes open. Moving on to our gospel passage, this theme of there being a right time repeats itself, but from another perspective, looking backwards rather than forwards, in judgment rather than hope. For in the parable of the sheep and the goats, it's all about opportunity, opportunities taken or missed, as the case may be, seized on, are allowed to pass by unnoticed. The parable tells us that the reign of Jesus will begin with a final judgment, but it's a parable, a story told to persuade people on how to live as we prepare for the inevitable experience, not an exact description of what those events will be like. The story has an end of time, or eschatological, to use the fancy word, emphasis. And it's set in place by its very first clause, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him. This is a very typical description from the apocalyptic tradition derived from Jewish literature in the centuries leading up to the advent of Jesus. And it was greatly influenced by the prophets and the wisdom tradition of Israel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Zephaniah, and Daniel. All have passages of this nature. And in verses 31 and 32, there are two images of the judgment which seem quite different from each other, that contrast with each other. The first envisages a typical royal court where the king is surrounded by courtiers and the whole populace is gathered before the throne waiting for a critical decision. The second describes a much humbler scene, a shepherd at the end of the day separating the sheep from the goats as they enter the fold for the night. In the Middle East at that time, it was an easy task, for the sheep were generally white and the goats dark brown. The monarch's task is not so easy, for the character of human beings is much more complex. The story simplifies the basis on which the judgment is made. It has to do with how each person responds to everyday opportunities to help people in need. The length and detail tell us what the story means. The reign of Christ and God's eternal judgment is going on right now with each decision and each action we take. How we live today has eternal consequences. We are witnesses to the reign of Christ in the way that we serve him in faithfulness, in kindliness, and love to our neighbours in need. Yet, it's not simply a story offering polite moral counsel to create a kinder, gentler, more self-satisfied society. The parable tells us that the faithful are to live in the same way that Jesus lived, to live as one that served. Jesus' actions constantly reaffirmed his godly character. And Matthew is telling us that in Jesus the Messiah, the divine judgment which Israel had anticipated for so long had arrived, was here and now. And the gospel speaks across the millennia with the same clarion call of judgment to our own time and place. The crucified and risen Jesus, the ever-present God with us, is now deciding who will have a part in the eternal reign of love fulfilled in God's creation. And the basis of that judgment will come as a surprise to many. In the parable, everyone is divided into two groups, the righteous and the unrighteous, the sheep and the goats. The righteous are rewarded for ministering to Jesus, for feeding him when he was hungry, giving him a drink when he was thirsty, clothing him when he was naked, visiting him when he was sick. And they're mystified, they're baffled. When did we do this, they ask. When you did it to the least of my children, is the reply. And the others are punished for failing to attend to Christ's needs. When did we see you and not feed you, they ask. When were you thirsty and we did not give you a drink? When were you naked and we did not clothe you? When were you sick and we did not visit you, they ask. When you didn't do it to the least of these poor ones, is a surprising reply. The sheep and the goats had all had an opportunity to serve Jesus without necessarily knowing, without necessarily realizing that it was him they served. Some had taken that chance, others hadn't. Christ had come to them all. He'd given them all the same chance, the same opportunity. Some had taken it, others hadn't. In the parable of the sheep and the goats, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel, the dance goes on. There is still a right time. There is still a mystery. But in it, God's purpose is made clear. That in Christ, God's purpose is revealed. They asked, "When did we do these things? When did we minister you?" The others asked, "When did we fail to minister to you?" When, they ask. Who knows the moment? Who knows the time? Who knows the hour? Some seized the moment. Some missed it. Without any of them fully realizing. Some made the choice. Others didn't. Some took their place in the dance of life. Others remained on the side, letting life flow past. Life's not about moving from one experience to another. It's about making choices, about being in control, about deciding how we should live. Let us, this new year, resolve to make the right choices in the year that lies ahead. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this preaching of his holy word, now and evermore. Hymn 130, "Ye servants of God, your master proclaim." Hymn 130. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Good and gracious Father, we have emerged from a difficult year, and we give thanks for help found in times of illness, bereavement, perplexity and stress, for all those who have served the needs of others during the year behind us. We thank you too for the message of Christmas, that he who is with you in the beginning loved us enough to come and take our flesh in the womb of Mary. We bless you that the child of Bethlehem is the Redeemer of Calvary, that the one who ruled the ways and touched the outcast is mighty to save today, and that we have been born again to a living hope. You are the creator of all things, snow and hail and frost, the ice of winter, as well as the warmth of summer. And we marvel at the mysteries of your providence and the shaping of our world. You have your own ways of working things out, of bringing peace, of bringing down tyrants, of lifting the humble and meek. We bless you for your justice, which is better than ours. We bless you for your good purposes, which are wiser than ours. We bless you for the future, which is your gift to us in this year of 2022. Help us to live in hope, not fear, in love, not cynicism, in resolution, not despair, for Jesus Christ, our Saviour's sake. Gracious God, at the start of this new year, we bring you our hopes for the world and for its peoples. Grant us peace in place of strife, a desire for justice instead of a dash for growth, the building up of forests, not their cutting down, the cleansing, not the pollution of our seas, and in place of hatred, goodwill. We pray for the Queen and all the parliaments and councils of these islands in which we live. Grant them wisdom and courage for the year ahead, integrity of life, strength in every good resolution, and for all who lead in church and state, grant humble hearts and minds to listen to you and others, to distinguish the good from the bad, the wise from the foolish, the fruitful from the corrupt. Lord, this year will bring its share of illness and bereavement and family conflict. We pray now for those already facing those trials. May they know your healing and hope and the good news of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of this life and the life to come. Our brother, human like us, yet picked up our frail bodies and took us with him into life eternal. May his spirit bear witness to these things, to what you're doing in their lives and ours. Lord, this year many words will be spoken in public in our land. We take a minute to reflect quietly on what lies ahead for each one of us and to ask your help and blessing. Lord God, one day we will see all things gathered up in Jesus Christ. May we live now and always in the light and love of that. All this we ask in Christ's name. Amen. We bring our worship to a close this morning with hymn number 237, Look Forward in Faith. Hymn 237. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all this day, this new year. Amen. Thank you.